Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 91 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Joshua Grandison.
We've lost 5,000 coal mining jobs in the last during this administration. And of course, for every coal mining job, you lose three additional jobs.
Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell is firing shots at the Obama administration for its continued war on coal. A city ordinance that would ban discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity in employment, housing, and public accommodations is expected to pass in Frankfurt, and Governor Beshear has received some harsh criticism from a D.C. ethics group. In sports, the Moorhead State baseball team adds three new players to its roster. Bud Luke has a look at your business world, and partly cloudy skies with fog developing later tonight is expected. With a slight chance of thunderstorms, lows will be around 70 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up, but first, this news. Kentucky Labor Secretary Larry Roberts says his cabinet is working to develop more apprenticeship programs to meet a critical need in the Commonwealth, a shortage of skilled workers in advanced manufacturing. Roberts testified today before the General Assembly's Interim Joint Committee on Labor and Industry. He says a pilot program will be tried in 11 schools this fall and will be expanded statewide in 2014 if it's successful. Roberts says the apprenticeships will be employer-driven.
They will work with the area training centers, and they will develop a curriculum that meets the needs of the sponsoring employer. Those students that participate will have to take a block of four courses chosen by the employer, with a final block being an on-the-job pre-apprenticeship employment.
Roberts is expecting 15 new apprenticeships to get state approval this year. More than 100 Kentucky school districts have now approved policies barring students from under the age of 18 from dropping out. Governor Steve Beshear, a proponent of the move, is urging the rest of the state's school districts to follow suit. Enough Kentucky school districts opted to increase the dropout age from 16 to 18 in the past couple of weeks to trigger a statewide implementation of the policy. That's because of the new law, which went into effect last month, which increases the dropout age statewide after 55% of the state's 173 school districts signed on. A Washington-based government watchdog group has named Kentucky's Steve Beshear as one of the worst governors in America. The organization called Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington included Beshear in the second edition of its Worst Governors report. Melanie Sloan is executive director of CREW.
One of the things that we were looking at was whether governors were improperly influencing public officials. And there's a particularly troubling incident where Governor Beshear ends up pushing Ron Mills, who's the director of Division Mine Permits, out of a job. He was eventually reinstated, but the real problem for Mr. Mills seemed to be that he was refusing to improperly issue mine permit applications.
Sloan also claims the governor allowed representatives of the coal industry to exert improper influence over official appointments. She says several people with ties to Alliance Resource Partners have been named to state positions. A state audit has found that the sheriff of a southeast Ohio county misspent public funds on various items, including 270 shirts, meals, and parties. The report says Athens County Sheriff Patrick Kelly has been ordered to repay nearly $6,000 to the county. The 2012 audit shows Kelly improperly spent money from two of his department's funds. The report says the matter can be resolved by transferring the money from another account. Kelly says the money has been spent from the wrong accounts and had not gone missing. He says he continues to fight with the state auditor's office on which spending should come from which accounts. A 2011 audit ordered Kelly to repay more than $15,000 in impermissible spending. Kentucky U.S. Senator Mitch McConnell accuses President Obama's anti-coal agenda of producing an economic depression in eastern Kentucky and the rest of central Appalachia. According to the Republican, while Obama's been in office, the Commonwealth has lost 5,000 coal mining jobs. He says that doesn't include the three jobs lost for every position in the coal fields that's been eliminated. McConnell says the administration's climate change regulations have been especially tough on Kentucky, where 90% of the state's electricity is produced by coal-fired power plants.
You make Kentucky less attractive for companies like Toyota and Ford that don't have to be in our state. One of the things that has attracted industry to Kentucky, in addition to its central location, is its low utility rates. And we'd be throwing away a huge competitive advantage.
McConnell says it's up to the voters to fix the problem by giving Republicans, who are more friendly to the coal industry, control of the U.S. Senate. With the work on West Menon Hall being completed, crews are getting set to begin a renovation project at another of Morehead State University's dormitories. According to MSU's construction manager, Terry White, a pre-construction meeting was held this week for the $7 million refurbishing of Menon Hall.
They're going to start staging for Menon Hall probably Monday, which will give Governor Scholars a chance. Their graduation is Saturday, so that should work out pretty well. They'll open up that area a little bit, and then they'll start putting up their construction fence on Monday for the Menon Hall renovation and start on their demo work up there.
Like at West Menon, the work at Menon Hall will involve a complete bricking of the buildings outside, along with the installation of new windows and a heating and cooling system. All of the rooms inside the 50-year-old dorm will also have to be redone. The work is expected to take a year to complete. Marshall University is inviting the Huntington and University communities to review its revised master plan. The school is holding an open house this afternoon from 5 to 6:30. It's taking place at the Memorial Student Center on the Huntington campus. Marshall Senior Vice President of Administration Karen Kirtley says the university has incorporated previous suggestions from the communities into the plan. She says input received at the open house will be used to revise the blueprint further. The master plan covers both the Huntington and South Charleston campuses. A Lawrence County school official has been demoted by the district's Board of Education. WYMT-TV reports the school board voted Tuesday night to demote District Administrator John Thompson from the position. Attorneys representing the school board say the demotion was necessary due to budget cuts from the state and federal level. The old Deming School building in Mount Olivet burnt down last night, and the cause of the blaze is still unknown. Robertson County Superintendent Chuck Brown says the building was slated for demolition after being put out of use earlier this year by the school district. According to Brown, arson investigators were unable to get a look at the building today due to safety concerns, but he says the lack of wiring and gas in the building and reports of individuals around the building late at night are suspicious.
Of people being around on the property, you know, late at night, just prior to the discovery of the fire. So I don't know where he's going, where he's gotten to with that. You know, there wasn't any thunderstorms, so there wasn't lightning, so kind of start eliminating possibilities, you know, what you come up with. So
the fire apparently started in the oldest section of the building, which was mostly made out of wood. No one was harmed by the blaze. The investigation into a deadly house fire in Bracken County continues, and MSPR's Caleb Noe has that story.
The cause of a house fire in Brooksville still remains unknown, but a probe is underway. Arson investigator Curtis Combs is leading the effort. However, according to state police, it could be a while before any answers surface. On July 13th, Keith Doss and seven family members were in his home on Kentucky 19 when the blaze began at about 2:20 a.m. Keith was pulled from the fire and remained sedated at the University of Cincinnati Hospital. His wife, Rainey, and their four children all died, however, from smoke inhalation. Rainey's sister Sheila Werber and her husband Stephen both walked out unharmed. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Caleb Noe.
An Eastern Kentucky physician has pled not guilty to child pornography charges. WYMT-TV reports Dr. Brett Dunning of Floyd County entered a not guilty plea to six counts of child pornography Wednesday morning. Kentucky State Police say there were several pornographic images on Dunning's electronic devices. His next court appearance is scheduled for November 14th. An Ohio woman has been sentenced to prison after being convicted on drug charges. WSAZ-TV reports 19-year-old Chelsea Berry of Chesapeake was convicted on charges of possessing and trafficking heroin Tuesday. She was sentenced to 9 years in prison. She was arrested by the Ohio State Highway Patrol in February after a routine traffic stop. Troopers suspected her of possessing marijuana, which led to Berry surrendering 50 grams of heroin. Frankfort City Commissioners made small tweaks and revisions to the city's proposed fairness ordinance on Monday. As KPR's Josh James reports, supporters don't see the changes significantly weakening the effect of the law if it passes.
Meetings held on Frankfort's proposed fairness ordinance have attracted large crowds and passionate responses from local residents on both sides of the issue. Now the draft language is being hammered out. Chris Hartman with the Louisville-based Fairness Campaign says he doesn't foresee major changes to the core of the law, which would prohibit discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity in employment, housing, and public accommodations.
They cleaned up some of the language in the ordinance. They changed a couple of the definitions to match current state and federal definitions.
Questions remain, however, as to whether or not the lawmakers will revive Frankfurt's dormant Human Rights Commission. Commissioner Lynn Bowers is among those who have questioned the need for a fairness ordinance because she says she has yet to find one instance of employment or housing discrimination based on sexual orientation. But even opponents are admitting that the measure has a good chance of passing. The final language will be made public next Monday when it will receive its first reading. For Kentucky Public Radio, I'm Josh James.
A northeastern Kentucky fiscal court signed off Tuesday on the relocation of a cemetery due to road work. Boyd County's fiscal court gave the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet permission to move Colvin and Calvin Cemetery in Cannonsburg so that U.S. 60 can be widened between Kentucky 180 and Interstate 64. Tom and Ruby Bayless have family buried in the cemetery, and Ruby spoke with WSAZ-TV.
It bothers me, it really does, to know these people chosen their final resting place, and now they don't have that privilege. I just don't like graves disturbed. Just thinking about it makes me feel like it's wrong.
Officials say with the age of the cemetery, it may take some time to relocate those buried there. They add the project is still in the planning stages, and it will likely be a few years before the physical work begins. The city of Raceland is in the process of establishing a walking and driving tour throughout the city. MSPR's own Chase Scott has more details.
Raceland Police Chief Don Sammons is heading up the tour, which will take visitors on a historic walk throughout the city. Once completed, tourists or even local residents will be able to walk at a leisurely pace throughout the three-block span of sites, which will be highlighted by the once-historic million-dollar oval racetrack grandstand that is now intertwined with the railroad company CSX. Sammons says lots of work is still to be done, however, between the pouring of sidewalks and walkways to the installation of signage around the city. Completion of the tour and establishing the route is scheduled for next month. Reporting for MSPR News, I'm Chase Scott.
July and August are typically the hottest months of the year, and a child advocate at Cosair Children's Hospital is reminding parents there could be tragic results if kids are left alone in vehicles. A baby's body temperature rises 3 to 5 times faster than an adult's, and the interior of a closed car warms up by 20 degrees every half hour. Cosair child advocate Sharon Ringers says it's no wonder that at least 15 children left unattended in vehicles have died from heat stroke already this year. She notes that 18% of these deaths occur when a child is intentionally left in the vehicle.
It's all buoyed. Everything will be buoyed.
To be resuscitated in the car, and the baby was in acute distress and had to be taken to the hospital. So it was a near miss, and it was only 80 degrees outside.
Rangers says more than half of vehicle heat stroke deaths happen when a child left behind is forgotten. She recommends leaving something like a purse or a cell phone near the child to remind you to check the back seat when you arrive at your destination. Temperatures continue to soar in eastern Kentucky as the largest heat wave of the summer continues to sit on top of the region. According to meteorologist Hal Klingsberg, with the National Weather Service office in Jackson, relief is still a few days away.
What's happened to this time is that we have had what's called a subtropical ridge of high pressure. That's basically just a dome of hot air. We typically get that in the summertime. It moves a little bit further north in the summer, and during the winter, it's weaker and further south towards the tropics.
Klingenberg says limited relief in the form of a cold front will begin dropping down from Canada. It is expected to sweep through the area by Saturday or Sunday, also bringing with it the possibility of more rain for our region. And turning now to the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the cities of Flemingsburg, Winchester, and Lexington. Tonight, partly cloudy with a slight chance of thunderstorms and a chance of rain. Fog developing overnight with lows near 70. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a chance of thunderstorms and a chance of rain. Highs near 90, chance of rain at 50%. Currently in Ashland, it is 94 degrees. In Flemingsburg, it is 89 degrees. In Winchester, it is 87 degrees. In Lexington, it's currently 79 degrees. And in Inez, and right here in Moorhead, it is currently 91 degrees. Time is 4:44, and you're tuned in to 90.3 FM Moorhead State Public Radio, and you're listening to Mountain Edition. I'm Joshua Grandison, and on behalf of all of the MSPR News team, it's great to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Moving to today's feature segment, a member of the Louisville Bats baseball team didn't play in this week's AAA All-Star Game in Reno, Nevada, but has proven most valuable to the club in other ways. Kentucky Public Radio's Rick Hallett has that story.
Sitting in the dugout after a recent batting practice at Louisville Slugger Field, 37-year-old Corky Miller recalls that he didn't really set out to be a catcher. He just was, starting as a child in his native Southern California.
You know, my dad was our coach, so he put me back there most of the games, and I tried to get out of it when I was in high school, but the coach said, "Hey, don't you catch?" And I said, "Yeah," and I pretty much caught every game there.
He's played for 5 major league teams, but Corky Miller has spent most of his 15-year professional career in the minor leagues and much of his minor league career in Louisville. Last month, he played his 500th game as a member of the Bats. Miller's been called up twice this season by the Bats' major league parent, the Cincinnati Reds, most recently last week, to provide backup while starting catcher Ryan Hannigan recovers from injuries. The hits aren't as frequent and the base running is slower, but Miller, with his easy manner and trademark Fu Manchu mustache, remains a solid fan favorite, especially in Louisville. There's even a Facebook page dedicated to Miller's facial hair.
The pitch. Miller pulls it fair down the line, left side, heads to the corner. 2 runs are going to score. Miller's.
I've been here for so long.
Turn.
I mean, a lot of these, I guess, young adults were kids when they were coming to games and seeing me play. So, I mean, being here for, you know, over, you know, 10, 11 years, it gets easy for them to remember me.
Miller seems comfortable in his newer role as a mentor to young players, helping pitchers with the mechanics of their delivery and the tedious work of charting hitters' tendencies. Ted Power is the Louisville Bats pitching coach.
As great as he is, I know he would have liked to have had a great major league career, but even without that, I think it has made him a better person because he can relate to guys at this level and at that level.
Miller has earned the respect of teammates on both levels. They say he's generous with his knowledge of the game and the ups and downs of being a pro baseball player.
And Corsino's pitch, a strike called, and that's the inning. His first K in the game as the Mudhens go quietly 1-2-3 in the second.
Pitcher Daniel Corsino came to the Bats this season from AA Pensacola. Miller's been helping the 23-year-old Dominican raise his game.
Yeah, every day. When I come, this is my first year here, play with him. He always tell me what I need to do for getting more experience, so I always listening what he say.
Miller doesn't just work with pitchers. Occasionally, he becomes one. In May, with the Bats' bullpen depleted for the night, Miller pitched 2/3 of an inning against Columbus, giving up a hit but no runs. Miller's status as a veteran and mentor doesn't necessarily mean he's completely grown up. Pitching coach Ted Power scoffs at the suggestion that Miller brings a mature presence to the clubhouse.
You think Corky's mature?
I don't know.
No, you don't know him.
Okay.
He is when he needs to be, but Corky is a very relaxed type player and person.
At age 37, Corky Miller says he doesn't know how much longer he'll play baseball.
It's harder and harder every year, so I don't know. It's not really up to me.
But he's not ready to leave the game.
Whatever God wants me to do, I'll do after this is over. You know, if it's managing, being a pitching coach or doing whatever I can do to stay in the game and still be out here every day.
And for those who are wondering, Corky is his real name, given in honor of a family friend. For Kentucky Public Radio, I'm Rick Howlett in Louisville.
Jay Scott has been keeping a check of your sports world, and he's up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR is provided by Toyota Motor Manufacturing Kentucky. From small towns to big cities, wherever you go in Kentucky, there's a good chance you'll see a Toyota Camry. And for good reason. It's America's best-selling sedan made right here in the Bluegrass. But Toyota Motor Manufacturing Kentucky does more than build world-class cars in Kentucky. They're an important part of our communities, providing thousands of jobs and millions in donations to local organizations. Toyota is honored to be a part of your community.
Bring out the pen and paper for the Eagle Baseball Program. Good evening, reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Chase Scott. Coach Mike McGuire and the Morehead State baseball team continued their offseason work today as the Eagles inked 3 more players to their roster. All listed as pitchers, the Eagles added Dylan Ramage from Southeastern Community College in Iowa, Luke Humphreys from Dixon County High School in Tennessee, and a local player from Greenup County in Seth Boyle. McGuire says that he believes all 3 will have an immediate impact on the team.
I think all 3 have a chance to pitch for us right away. Seth's
position player as well. He's a hitter, pretty good infielder, can probably play third, can probably play second. Luke is also a very athletic infielder. Number of at-bats and things like that they get will hinge on a couple things, you know, how much they pitch, you know. Sometimes they're a key cog in the pitching staff. Sometimes it's tough to get them in the lineup as regularly. But I think they all three have a bright future for us.
The Eagle baseball team will look to turn things around next season as they finished just 14-60 in their last go-around. The Eagles will also look for more production from their pitching staff, which allowed 316 earned runs last season. Looking to add on to their three-game win streak, the Lexington Legends will be back in action tonight in Georgia against the Rome Braves. The Legends took last night's game 6-2, which moves their record to 15-9 on the season. They will toss Crawford Simmons in tonight's game as he holds on to a 1-1 record. The Braves will counter with Lucas Sims, who is 4-3 on the year. First pitch is set for 7 p.m. Today is the final day of Major League Baseball's All-Star break, and the Cincinnati Reds are gearing up for return to action. They'll open a weekend series at home tomorrow night against Pittsburgh. Looking at the National League Central Division standings, the Reds trail the second-place Pirates by 4 games and first-place St. Louis by 5. However, first baseman Joey Votto says Cincinnati can't focus on what the Bucks and Cardinals are doing.
It's our responsibility to take care of ourselves, and however they play is not under our control. We just need to play the best we can and play the way we can all the way to the very end of the season, not getting too caught up in the scoreboard, which can be a bit distracting.
That said, getting the Pirates at Great American Ballpark could be a good thing for the Reds, who are 30-16 this season on their home turf. Another one of golf's prestigious events teed off today at Murfield in Scotland as the Open Championship got underway. Looking at your leaderboard, Zach Johnson remains the lone man at the top as he fired in a 66, which amounts to 500 par. Rafael Cabrera-Bello, Mark O'Meara, and Shiv Kapoor sit in at second at 4-under on the day, and Miguel Jimenez, Dustin Johnson, Brent Snedeker, and Tom Lehman all sit at 3-under in a tie for fifth. Dustin Johnson says accuracy is the bottom line in the Open.
You got to play well. It doesn't matter how you hit it. You know, length or guys being short, that doesn't matter. You know, you got to play well. You got to hit the ball in the right spot. You got to hit in the right spot on the greens, you know, and stay out of the bunkers is, you know, the main key.
Other notable scores from the day, Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson both finished with a 2-under 69, and former Morehead State golfer Josh Teeter finished at 1-over par. When looking at his roster, new Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops insists his cupboard isn't bare. Speaking Wednesday to reporters at the SEC's annual Media Days event in Hoover, Alabama, Stoops said UK has a number of talented veterans returning.
It's good to have some guys up front that have some ability, have some size, and have some experience. So I like that part of it. And certainly with Avery at linebacker there, he's just such a great leader. He's a good football player, but he's a really good person and a good leader. So that is good to start with. We need to improve. We need to improve at the skill positions on both sides of the ball. But it's a work in progress, and but it is nice to have those guys.
Avery is senior Avery Williamson. Stoops also noted that Wildcat football fans are starved for success, and they continue to provide UK's current players and its recruits with a positive energy, and he appreciates that support. Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier and his assistants will hold a women's clinic tomorrow afternoon at 4:30 at Jane Stadium. Tenier credits his wife Jane for helping him to coordinate the event. Right now, he's expecting about 40 to 60 gals to attend.
It's just a day for women to come in, and we're going to educate them on football a little bit, offense, defense, and the kicking game. And we're going to have some fun. We're going to put them through some drills and give them an opportunity to maybe put some equipment on and be a football player for a day.
The MSU Women's Football Clinic is open to individuals 18 and older. Admission is $20 per person. The event is expected to last for about 3 hours. And finally, preseason drills for the Round County girls soccer team are continuing. Coach Randy Wallace says the Lady Vikings are looking forward to action in the Bluegrass State games when they'll get to face some real opponents.
Absolutely. We get to play some of the better teams around the state, teams that normally we wouldn't have on our schedule. Can't ask for any better deal than that.
The Lady Vikes will participate in the Bluegrass State Games on July 26th through the 28th. The Round girls open the regular season on August 19th against Western Hills at Schuster Field. That's a look into the sports world. Have a great evening. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Chase Scott.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Season tickets for Moorhead State football, soccer, and volleyball are now on sale, as well as single game tickets for football. Single event tickets for soccer and volleyball will be available on game days. More information on single game or season tickets is available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. Investors pushed the Dow and S&P 500 into record territory once again as they welcomed a batch of strong earnings and a drop in jobless claims, with the Dow Industrials up 78.02, finishing at a record level of 15,548.54. The S&P 500 was up 8.46 at 1689.37, and of course another record for the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 1.28, at 3611.28. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 20-9 in favor of winning stocks over losers. Gold was up just over 0.5%, while oil was up 1.5%. And as mentioned, healthy earnings propelling stocks, with IBM starting the good news, reporting strong earnings after the close yesterday. The tech stalwart reported a 3% jump in net income for the second quarter. And excluding special charges, IBM also raised its outlook for the year. Shares of Morgan Stanley jumped after the financial firm reported a healthy profit, or I should say a quarterly profit in line with estimates, although revenue actually beat forecasts, and shares of rival banks, including Bank of America and J.P. Morgan, also increased sharply. United Health Group also reported earnings above forecasts and improved its outlook. Shares of the insurance giant were among the best performers one of the best performing stocks in the S&P 500. In other earnings news, Verizon reported a 21% jump in quarterly net income from a year earlier, but shares of the company dipped due to a worse-than-expected wireless service profit margin. Nokia's stock price dropped after the Finnish phone maker reported a 24% plunge in quarterly sales from a year ago. Late Wednesday, Intel reported second-quarter profits that fell 29% versus a year earlier, and that sent shares lower, and the company also said it expects revenue to be flat this year, after previously forecasting a modest increase. You also had good economic news today, as initial jobless claims declined more than expected to 334,000 for the week ended July 13th. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up 64 cents at 86.71, CSX up 45 cents at 25.55, AEP up 13 cents at 47.22, AK Steel up 6 cents at 3.40, Marathon Petroleum down $1.46 at 68.29, and Windstream was down 5 cents to finish at 8.10. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery in historic downtown Maysville. Eat Gallery features original and unique gifts, including local artwork, fine jewelry, gemstones, sculptures, and natural art from around the world. Eat Gallery offers heirlooms, including earrings, bracelets, necklaces, and original artwork by Rob Weingartner and Fred Weisner. Open Tuesdays through Fridays, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eat Gallery in Maysville is online at eatgallery.com.
And taking another look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area for tonight, partly cloudy skies with a slight chance of thunderstorms and a chance of rain, fog developing later tonight. Lows near 70 degrees. Currently in Ashland, it's 94 degrees. In Flemingsburg, it's 89 degrees. In Winchester, it's 87 degrees. In Lexington, it's 79 degrees. In Inez, it's 91 degrees. And here in Moorhead, it is also 91 degrees. And that does it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff, Chuck Mraz, Mike Williams, Tanner Boyd, Chase Johnson, and Chase Scott, Sam Steyert, Caleb Noe, and as always, Dan Conte. From KPR, Josh James and Rick Hallett provided this afternoon's feature segment. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at msuradio.com. For all of the MSPR News team, I'm Joshua Grandison for Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is up next. It's 5 o'clock.